Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Today I am sitting down with Andy Bell for what is the third time now on this podcast. Our most recent episodes being a new vision for clinical decision making with Dr. Matt Stainer and Stressed on Your Way to a Job, which if you haven't checked out, you should really do that probably after this episode or beforehand, whatever you're feeling. But Andy, thank you so much for jumping on today. I'm really excited. Today we're going to be talking about career progression and development. And for those of you that don't know Andy, he is a paramedic but has an extensive history and experience in all different areas of paramedicine, from research and education and lecturing to now his new role as the paramedic lead for the Royal Flying Doctor Service. But we will talk about that today. So thank you so much for jumping on, Andy. It's a pleasure to have you on.
No, thanks, Alex. It's always a pleasure. I love this podcast. I love having chats with you. And I think, you know, sort of what we've just been chatting about off air and where we could perhaps go with today is a really important topic that isn't necessarily talked about that much, or certainly it's not talked about enough in our space. And that's this whole idea of career development. And what does it even mean to have a career in paramedicine, and what can we do as paramedics to extend our career? There are some very traditional pathways, of course, that, you know, people have well trodden, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with those pathways, but there's also other options out there as well. And I think it's a good chance for us to have a conversation around what is it that employers are looking for? What kinds of knowledge, skills, and attributes are the sorts of things that people need to bring to the table if they both want to be competitive in the careers marketplace, and then also have longevity in the marketplace, and then also be able to be in control of your own career progression. We aren't puppets being controlled by the companies and the organizations and that we work for, but rather we do have some power in what we want to do. And then maybe a bit of a chat as well about some of the maybe sort of off center or, you know, outside of the box types of things that can be done in the space as well. So lots to talk about, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds fantastic. Let's get started. I think you're right, though, because originally when I started my degree, all I thought about was state ambulance service, and that's, you know, the well-trodden path that most people go down. And then, you know, you think about career progression and you think about potentially critical care, and then you think about management, and then that's kind of all you ever kind of think about. And I think now with registration in Australia for paramedicine, and, you know, talking to people like yourself and so many people in the career now, they do things that aren't necessarily the well-trodden path or something that you'd expect. And I think that's fantastic, and there's so many options now for people, particularly when they're starting out in the degree.
Yeah, there was a really interesting situation that occurred. I was working at a university a couple of years ago, and I asked a careers expert to give me a hand to help with some career development stuff, and he did a really interesting exercise. He went on to LinkedIn, and he used the search term paramedic, and then he pulled about 30 people who came up using the search term paramedic off, and he just captured their profile picture and then a descriptor of their job. Now, he went then through them and took out the ones who were working as a paramedic, and he was left with about 20 odd people, none of whom were working in the role which was defined as a paramedic. They were working in health and safety. They were CEOs of organizations like Surf Life Saving. They were working in medical supply companies. They were working across a whole myriad of different areas and aspects. All of them identified as paramedics because they were all qualified as paramedics or they were registered as healthcare professionals under the term paramedicine or paramedic, but none of them were working under that banner as a paramedic, say, for example, was in a jurisdictional ambulance service or in a private provider or anything like that. So I thought it was a really, really clever way that he went about it, because he didn't tell anyone in the class that that's what he'd done. So all he did was put these 20 people up on the board and go, what do all these people have in common? And you looked at all their titles and it was, you know, like I said, safety advisor and, you know, blah, 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 management. And everyone was like, oh, what do they have in common? And it wasn't until he said, well, every single one of these people identifies as a paramedic. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. So what that says is that there is this opportunity with the skill set that we develop in our training and our development as ourselves as clinicians and as operators, that we can then translate across a whole variety of different aspects, you know, organizational structures, the ability to define and make decisions under pressure, to be able to manage pressure, to be able to manage situations, to be able to CRM type situations, then also all of the stuff that comes with the science background, then of the stuff that comes with the communication background. There's so much to the skill set that makes up what we are. And this is, it's great that you brought up registration, because you're right. Registration brought more than just us being now titled as a paramedic. The concept of registration and this idea that we are now a legitimate profession, although there'd be an argument to say that we've still got a little way to go to probably round ourselves off in that space, but that's probably a whole other podcast, is that in order for us to become a profession, we have to start acting in a professional manner. And with that professional manner comes, you know, the rights and responsibilities of things like being a medical professional and the things that allow us to sign off on, you know, recognition of life extinct forms and all this sort of stuff. There's a whole bunch of things that come with that that make it so much more than just a title of paramedic and someone who can cannulate someone and give them some morphine when they're in pain. And we're a fledgling, you know, we're new, we're a novice profession. And because of that, we're still, I think, getting our heads around what it means to be a profession and what it means to be a professional. And the more we develop into that, the more we will see ourselves start to, you know, grow and bloom. And when you think about some of those perhaps slightly more mature professions, you know, medicine's been a profession for a very long time. Well, what do doctors do? Doctors are everywhere, right? They are, yes, they're the GPs you go to. Yes, they're the people working in the EDs. Yes, they're, you know, but they're also working in primary healthcare clinics. They're also people that are sitting on boards of health boards and school boards and all this sort of stuff, because they are looked at by society as, you know, a unique group of people with a unique skill set, and they're looked up to, etc. Well, that's where I think we need to head as well. And we can use all that, and we can harness all that, and we can push that into a lens through a lens, and we can allow that to help us develop our careers. Because, you know, being a paramedic and the profession of paramedicine are not necessarily the same thing. And this is where I had a really interesting conversation with a guy the other day when we talked about the fact that, you know, a paramedic is a profession, or paramedicine is a profession, and working for an ambulance service is an occupation or a job. So you can work for an ambulance service and not be a paramedic, and you can be a paramedic and not work for an ambulance service. It can flip either way. One is a series of things that you do, and the other is a thing that you are. And that gets, and now we're getting a little philosophical there, but that's essentially the difference. You can list a series of skills, and that's someone who's an ambulance officer, for example, or works in a jurisdictional ambulance, or works in whatever it might be, commercial sector. But that doesn't make you a paramedic. What is it that defines you as a paramedic? It's the way that we act. It's the way that we think. It's the collection of all of those skills. It's the environments in which we operate. That's paramedicine. And if we can really harness into that, then we can direct that into a whole bunch of other areas. And then, you know, hey, take over the world. Why not, right?
Wow. Do we just end the podcast?
Put it in context.
That's great.
What's that, sorry?
I said, do we end the podcast there? My gosh.
Yeah. It's
do we take over the world?
Like, We can take over the. Okay, I'm going to put this into context for people. At the moment, I've stepped away from jurisdictional ambulance. I've even stepped away from university now, and I'm now the paramedicine team lead for the Royal Flying Doctors in Western Australia. And one of the things that has brought me here is there's a number of reasons. There's some really cool stuff happening in the space, but the CEO of this organization, remember, it's the Royal Flying Doctors Service, right? Okay, cool. It's in the name. But the new CEO of the Royal Flying Doctors Service of Western Australia was a paramedic. She was a paramedic from in South Australia and Northern Territory, and now she's the CEO of the Royal Flying Doctors. So we have a paramedic at the top of the tree of one of the, I guess the legacy organizations, medical organizations, not only in this country, but in the world. There are very few places in the world that you could go and say, "Hey, I work for the Royal Flying Doctors or the Royal Flying Doctors." And they'll go, "Oh, yeah, I know what that is. Yeah, they've heard of it." So we have a paramedic in charge of that. That's incredible, right? And it just says to me that we are just getting started as a profession. So this is, I guess, I'm trying to frame before we really kick into like the careers aspect of it and things that, we need to take grasp of being a profession, and there's so many opportunities for us there as long as we really utilize this idea of being a professional.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And you're so right. And it's something, actually, I didn't really think about it since talking to you today, is that we do have such a unique set of skills and attributes that we learn via our training and the role that we usually, have been training for, which generally a lot of us have been training for that sort of state ambulance service during uni. All of those skills, like you said, are so transferable, and that's the power now that I guess we have. Like you're saying, obviously we can go into all these different roles that, like you said, it's not necessarily university, it's not necessarily jurisdictional ambulance service, not even private medical companies, but just completely innovative and out of the box.
But also within these organizations, when I started in paramedicine, which was, a few years ago now, unfortunately, there were very few alternative pathways even within an ambulance service. You pretty much could be a paramedic, maybe, you could do critical care or intensive care or something like that. And then you had your management sort of your OICs and things like that. But now we're seeing across ambulance services things like mental health specialists, and we're seeing support officers, and we're seeing these roles evolve, these education roles and things evolving, so that there is more opportunity to diversify even within organizations as well. So we are growing both internally and externally as well. And you only have to think about where we were even sort of 15 years ago, when I was kicking around and things, that people didn't even really know what paramedics were or what paramedics could do or what we were capable of. Well, that's changing. It's still got a long way to go, but people now know about us. They hear about us. They see us on TV. Not that that's necessarily always a good thing, but they're aware of who we are and the sorts of things that we can do. And part of that is part of this evolution and this maturity of us as a profession. But we need to really take control of that. There's been some massive changes in the last few years, but we're still definitely going through some growing pains. Still feel like there's a misunderstanding, particularly amongst certain aspects of the paramedic community about the different roles that paramedics can play. There's still really not a great understanding around that community or extended care, paramedic practitioner, whatever sort of terminology we're moving from in that space. There's still issues there in terms of that acuity at the primary healthcare end of the spectrum. We're certainly moving even further down, in the higher acuity spectrum. We're seeing a broadening of scope across the board. But we also have to understand that, we are in control of that. And it's only if we, as a profession, continue to do our job really well that we can demand, for example, to continue to expand our scope. If we don't do a good job of it, then why would anyone else let us do a bigger, bad job of it? Yeah. So let's just
Absolutely.
focus on doing things really, really well, And then we can start like sort of looking at all these other things as well. And what is it that, fundamentally makes someone a really good paramedic? I'm going to throw this one to you out. What makes someone a really good paramedic? There we go.
Oh, good
On the
question.
spot.
Oh, I feel like I'm in an interview. So for me, in my eyes, what makes a good paramedic? Obviously, there needs to be somewhat of a level of competency in terms of can you do the skills that you're required to do to be a paramedic for your role that you're hired to do? But then obviously there's the intrinsic sort of personal characteristics, attributes and values that I guess make up a good paramedic, and there's obviously communication. So can you communicate with patients? But not only does it mean that you can communicate, but can you work well within a team environment and not only be the leader but the follower as well and work well within that dynamic? Then there's the ability to be a good problem solver. Obviously need that for the clinical side of things, but also for sort of more challenging and grey areas that arise in the paramedic world, because obviously pre-hospital isn't black and white a lot of the time. So we also have the ability to work well under pressure, which obviously is a really fantastic skill to have. I think some other aspects as well include things like having humility. So humility, knowing that you've got a lot more to learn, and I think in this profession, being that of medicine, there is so much more to learn in this job, and I don't think you'll ever get to a point where you're going to know everything. So having that understanding and that drive. Also someone that's adaptable. So not only can they work well under pressure, but just adaptable in general. And those that, actually care about people and want to make a difference. I guess some other factors would be things like integrity and accountability, which is really important in terms of speaking up when you make a mistake or trying to advocate for the right things. I guess that's all I can think of right now.
Think about what you just described in terms of a person. Like, take away the paramedic label and just describe that as a person, someone who is willing to learn, someone that is adaptable, someone that is caring, etc. That's a pretty good person to start with, right? And then you can put a uniform on them or whatever else, and then they can start to do their job. I completely agree with all of those things. I'm currently in a position where I'm hiring people. I'm hiring paramedics, and I am hiring. I agree with you said that there has to be a level of competency. Do you need to have a baseline level of skill in order to do the job? Yeah, of course you do. Do you need to be able to do our fundamental skill set of can you do a really good primary survey? Can you take a good set of vital signs? Can you take an ECG and interpret it? Can you, cannulate someone? Can you administer drugs, etc.? Okay, done, done. Tick, 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 tick. But they're all just skills, right? I'm hiring for culture. So I've interviewed a lot of people in the last little while, and the thing that I'm thinking about when I'm talking to them, when I'm going through my interviews with them, and my interviews are sometimes an hour, hour and a half long, if not more, is how is this person interacting? How is this person communicating? Is this a person who is looking you in the eyes when they're answering the questions? Is this a person who, when they're thinking of doing their answers, they're thinking about what they're saying? Is this a person who, when I give them a problem to solve, a clinical issue to deal with, they take their time, they think about it, and sometimes they take the solution they offer up may not necessarily be the nicest one, but it's the one that's in the best interest of the patient, for example. I want people that I know will be able to come to a team. They don't have to be a conformist. Nobody needs that. It doesn't have to be that. But I want someone who can come to a team and bring something to the team. And I want them to be able to be a part of open and honest discourse. Can they take feedback? Can they give feedback? Because you have to be able to do both, right? Are they willing to listen? Are they willing to learn? Are they willing to change? Are they also willing to stand up for themselves when they feel like they have the right answer? Those are the kinds of things that I'm looking for when I'm interviewing people. And those are not things that you hear about at any training course, right? Or in anything you're being taught, can you read lead two in the ECG and tell me whether or not we're going to shock this patient? Cool. I want to know about these other things, because we can train a monkey to cannulate, all right? That would be interesting, but we could definitely do it. But more importantly, do we have a good person who's going about things for the right reasons? And then once we have those people in a highly effective team working with each other, then you're going to end up with, you know, one of my favorite sayings is that a rising tide lifts all ships. Everybody's going to get better because everybody wants everybody else to do well as well, you know, and we're all heading in the same direction for the same reasons. That's where we end up with really a highly effective team as well. So for me, you know, yes, we have to have the piece of paper. You have to have that piece of paper to get to the start line. So we're certainly not saying don't, you know, throw your degree out, don't bother going to uni. No, I'm not saying that. But the piece of paper is your ticket to the start line, isn't it? I know, Alex, you and I have had this conversation previously that, you know, you feel like you're working so hard to get to the end of that degree. And once you got there, you're like, yes, I've achieved it. And yes, it's a fantastic achievement, but really all you've done is you've bought yourself a ticket to the start line, and then you can really start to dig in, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, when I was at university, I saw graduation as the light at the end of the tunnel, but now being a year and a half out of university and having tried a few different things in nursing and paramedics and ending up, you know, in the UK, I've really realised that there are so many different opportunities. You just have no idea where this profession can take you. And it sounds daunting, the fact that, you know, like you said, finishing university is, you know, just you're getting your ticket to the start line. And I think that can sound really daunting, but equally it's just as exciting. There is so much out there. And I think if you allow yourself to take on those opportunities, you'll have a fantastic sort of career.
And when we start to really consider, like, you know, what is a career? Now we need to start thinking more broadly than what is an occupation or what is a job. You know, a job is something that you turn up to do. You pick up your paycheck. You work your X number of hours and then you go home. That's not a career. A career is an opportunity for you to grow and develop as a person across an extended period of time, possibly even your entire working life. You know, so when we start to think about career aspirations, career aspects and things, we want to start thinking, and this is going to be, I guess, one of my first sort of takeaways for the team today, is you really need to start thinking about things in the short term, the medium term and the long term. Because if you don't, then you will find yourself drifting. You know, if your sole goal is to just be, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but to just be a paramedic. Now, while just being a paramedic is a perfectly acceptable thing to do and certainly fine thing to do, if that's all you want to do, then happy days, all power to you. But if you start to think about, why do I want to be a paramedic? Why am I here? What is it that's going to get me out of bed when I've just worked back-to-back nights and I have to go again? What is it that's going to ensure that I don't become that grumpy paramedic that nobody else wants to work with because they're just bitter and twisted about life? What is it that makes me or gets me excited about my career? Because we spend a significant amount of our lives and our energy and everything else doing this thing, right? So why are you doing it? Now, if I'd suggest that if you've gone into paramedicine for the financial gain, then you're probably not going to have a very long career in paramedicine, because while the money is okay, you know, you're never going to end up in a position where you're going to be, you know, driving a Ferrari, I wouldn't think, unless you're working, you know, back-to-back nights for about 6 years straight. But more so, what is it that then makes you think, okay, I want to do this job. I do this for a particular reason. I'm doing it because I feel like I can contribute something. What is that contribution? We're all going to be different. I'm not going to tell anyone here, you know, what they have to think in terms of their contribution. It's an intrinsic thing. However, we know that intrinsic motivation will win over extrinsic motivation in the long term every time. Yeah, you can give someone money and it will work for a short period of time, but eventually they'll get sick of that, bored of that, whatever else. But if they know that they're turning up to do something because they love it, because they want to do it, because they feel like they're getting better at it, because they feel like they can contribute something else, then that's the thing that's going to drive them. And it's not necessarily going to mean that we're all the same either, right? So, you know, for some, it will be the intrinsic driver to be push their clinical level as far as they can possibly go and maybe climb sort of as high as they can up the clinical tree, and they can and push some of those really high acuity positions and high acuity jobs. And for others, that will have very little, you know, desire whatsoever. It might be that they see, you know, I've been working with a paramedic recently, and her real drive is to see an increase in the primary healthcare sector in and around Indigenous communities in Western Australia. And she's got an incredible drive in that direction. And to watch her talk and think and the things that she talks about and the things that she wants to do with that just inspires me, because it makes me think, wow, you know, that was something that I would never have really probably thought much about or considered, but to see someone else with that driver is just really inspiring. So my challenge, I guess, to people that are listening is, why are you doing this? All right? Why are you putting yourself through these OSCEs that you, you know, because let's be honest, this is a student paramedic podcast. I'm assuming that most people still listening are still students, or even if they're not, you know, we all continue to have to do our OSCEs. We have to continue to do our upskills and everything else. Why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we put ourselves under that pressure? Why do we turn up to night shifts when we don't want to, when it's cold and it's dark and I'd just really much rather stay in bed? Why do we work on weekends when everyone else is going to the party? Why do we work at Christmas when we miss out and seeing and spending our time with our family? I'm really selling this career, aren't I? Like, you know, this is sounding like an awesome thing to do right now. but why? What makes you want to do this? And it's really important, if you want to have a long-term career, then you need to really define your why. So I strongly suggest that if you haven't had a real good think about that, many people's whys will have changed as well. Like, you know, when you first come to, say, paramedicine, maybe newly out of school, or maybe you went and did a couple of years of gap year or whatever, and then you're like, yes, I'm going to go and be a paramedic. And you turn up on that first day and you're sitting in that, you know, lecture theater at uni, whatever else, looking like a bug-eyed possum going, oh my God, what have I done? I would suggest for many people what they thought they were getting themselves into, and in fact, where they are, particularly once they're at perhaps where you are, Alex, and you know, you've done the study and you're now a year or two into your grad sort of stuff and things, your why may have shifted. Yeah. And that's okay. It's okay to shift your why, but I would suggest for most people that it'd be really beneficial to them to just take a little bit of time to think about, what is it that drives me and why am I doing this? I'm interested in your thoughts on that, Alex. Have you considered that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my journey into paramedicine was completely different. Like, I actually had this, it sounds terrible, but it was initially my backup option into med school. And then, so my why wasn't really there for paramedicine, but then fast forward 5-6 years down the line, and I'm running a podcast because I'm so fascinated by paramedicine and where it can take you. And I was just gobsmacked as to where it can take you. So I think it's allowed to change, you know, you're allowed to develop a big passion for something, and you're allowed to try and figure it out along the way. I mean, you know, I really love the expedition and sort of austere environment work of paramedicine, but you know, in a year or two that might change. I never know, it just depends. And I think if you're really open to where this profession can go and where it can take you, I think if you keep an open mind about that, you're going to be in a really great position to really take advantage of what you can offer to the profession and what it can offer you. And I think equally with that, you know, it challenges the notion that this is, you know, you hear it all the time, it's a career or a profession with a short, you know, timeline, or a career sort of line. You hear people saying, I'll only do it for a few years. And I think maybe that's a certain element of it. Maybe that's just, you know, people thinking about that with the road paramedics. But like we're talking about, there's just so much out there. And I think, you know, you really get to explore it all, or certain parts of it, if you just remain open and innovative to all the things that are actually accessible to you.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. And like, I guess one of my sort of other main points for this today is that in order for that to occur, everything that you've just mentioned, then it's really important that you just be brave. Just be brave, you know, like you are already brave because you signed up to do paramedicine. Let's be honest. And I used to say this to my first years when I was lecturing, you know, how many people, when they told their friends and relatives that they'd signed up to do paramedicine at university, were like, oh my God, really? Oh, I could never do that. All right. Every one of us has heard that 100 times. Or once you are, you know, a paramedic, or you're wearing a uniform, your student uniform, and you see people you know, whatever, and they're like, oh, I can't believe you're doing paramedicine. Oh my God, I could never do that. Well, so you're already brave because you've signed up to do something that most people in the world would never even consider to do. All right. Well, you're rather brave, or maybe a little weird, a little stupid, but that's okay too. We're all a little weird and a little brave and stupid, but definitely brave. So harness that bravery, you know, like things that stop people from progressing is that they're just worried about the unknown. They're concerned about what if. But you know what? If you take away the what if and you say, so what? Just do it. You know, if I now am, I don't know, what am I, 17 years into this whole gig, 18 years, something like that, into this whole paramedicine kind of thing. And, you know, I've done jurisdictional ambulance and I've done some internal jurisdictional education work and I've done some leadership positions and then I've done university lecturing and then I've done some tactical medical work and then I've done leadership roles in organisations. And then next thing you know, I'm at the Royal Flying Doctors and leading a team and doing all stuff. There's nothing that I've done that nobody else, you know, anyone could do what I've done, anyone. They just had to choose to make those same decisions. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone will want to. Now, I'm sure many people are like, why the hell would I want to do that? Totally cool. But what I'm saying is that just because you're doing one thing doesn't mean you can't do something else. So have a crack at it. You know, if you are out there now and you're coming towards the end of your study and you're thinking, okay, cool, I'm gonna get my epaulets and I want to, you know, get out there in the wild for and wear a uniform for a while and do the job and everything, awesome. But at the same time, hey, I really enjoy primary healthcare, so I'd love to do some study and maybe some work in that space. Well, there's opportunities. I'm currently on the board for the primary healthcare board for South Metro for Brisbane. It's 12 doctors and one nurse and me. They've never had a paramedic on their board before. And it's been really interesting because they'll all talk. The doctors all talk. They love to do that. And then I'll just put my little hand up at the end and go, has anyone considered what happens before they get to hospital or in the pre-hospital space? And suddenly you can see all their mouths drop and they're like, oh, we hadn't even thought about that. I hadn't considered. Yeah. So we have a unique perspective on the way we look at the healthcare system. We have a unique perspective at the way we look at our patients. We are afforded a unique position in that, you know, we walk up to somebody's house that has never heard of us before, never seen us before. We knock on the door and they open the door and in we walk. That doesn't happen to anyone else. No one else that just knocks on the door gets invited in, right? We go into these people's inner sanctums. We go inside their homes. We go to them when they're at their weakest, they're most vulnerable. They're lying, you know, semi-naked on the floor, covered in their own vomit, whatever else. And we are given the honor, the opportunity to be there and be a part of that. That gives us a unique perspective on healthcare and on how people think and how to communicate with these types of people across broad demographics and everything. So again, we're coming back around to that full circle of all of these skills lead us to a place where we are able to contribute in these bigger organizations or these other organizations. You know, I'm finding at the moment that I'm sitting on committees with lawyers and accountants and doctors and everything else. And, you know, I'm terrified. I'll be completely honest with you. Imposter syndrome is through the roof right now for me. But every now and then I'm like, hey, I know the answer to this. I'm going to put my hand up and I'll put my hand up and I'll be like, I think it's this. And then they're like, oh, And now I'm not always right, to be fair, but at least I'm offering them a different perspective and a new things. It's about just being brave. It's about offering that opportunity. It's about putting yourself in a place so that you can offer up those skills and then just taking the plunge. You know, I really love the fact you're talking about your austere and remote stuff. There's some awesome opportunities out there at the moment in that space. You know, working in the commercial sector, working with expeditions, working in film and television, there's some really cool stuff happening out there at the moment. So just because, you know, you came perhaps to university off the back of watching a TV show where people drove this thing called an ambulance and had some lights and sirens for a while everywhere else, doesn't necessarily mean that that's where you will have to end up. And that's every one of us will go down a different journey. I guess what I'm just trying to say to everybody is be brave, back yourself with the skill sets that you've developed. You do have a unique set of skills. You do look at the world a little bit differently. You are a little bit weird because you've done this thing called paramedicine, but you also are someone who is doing something that most other people in the world would never even consider doing. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. And I think as
At
well,
least I think so.
oh, absolutely. And to end that too, like, you know, like you said, you've met some incredible people that are having these ideas and want to create change in certain aspects of healthcare by using their paramedic skills. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're like, I really want to do X, Y, and Z, but it's not yet created or there's no sort of pathway for it yet. Be that person, be innovative, be the one that, you know, wants to have ideas about that and actually put some action in place. Like, you know, like you said, the kind of the world of paramedics is our oyster at the moment. So, you know, give it a go, create some change.
100%, especially for those of you, and I'm assuming that the majority of your listeners are probably Australian, but you know, the paramedic system here is very, very good. It's one of the best in the world, and so you can leverage that. You know, a well-trained paramedic from Australia can get a job just about anywhere. There are also other countries doing a really good job as well. You know, there's some great paramedics coming out of New Zealand. There's some great paramedics coming out of the UK. There's some great paramedics coming out of Canada and places like that. But use that. You know, it's a ticket. I know you have, Alex. You know, we're speaking to each other. I'm in Perth right now, and you're in the UK, you know, and that's because you've taken that ticket and you've leveraged it over there. You know, I just moved across the big piece of land that we've got here, but you went all the way to the other side of the world. That's awesome. And so there's these opportunities here. Use them. Don't be scared to go away and do a couple of years overseas. Gone are the days when if you did your training and then went away to somewhere else, say overseas or whatever, then it was, you know, quite difficult to get back. Those days are over now. You know, I hired a guy just the other day. He's Australian trained, but then has spent a number of years traveling around the world doing paramedic work in lots of different places. I loved his skill set because he had done other things. I loved his skill set and the way he thought about the world because he had been to other places and worked with other cultures and worked with other types of people and worked within different systems. So he showed me that he was really adaptable, that he was someone that was able to think outside the square and work with, you know, reduced resources and all that sort of stuff. So the fact that he had gone away wasn't a weakness, and it was actually a strength. And that's the sort of thing I'm saying, you know, to leverage when you're thinking about your career pathway moving forward. So, yeah, there's a lot to happen in the space. I just think it's really exciting. I think for the opportunities that are afforded to people in the space now, really, I don't even know we will be doing in another 10 years. I mean, the position that I'm in now didn't exist 6 months ago. It didn't exist. So what else that will exist in, you know, another year or 2 years or 5 years that doesn't currently exist? Who knows? But it'd just be great to see paramedics sort of, you know, in all of those places with all of the wonderful skill sets that we have. Yeah, I'm excited. It's cool.
I love your passion about it. I think that's what makes this podcast, or today, this episode in particular, really exciting. And now I've also come away from it like, wow, what else can we do?
Exactly.
So I really appreciate your energy to this, and it's awesome. So I hope all of our listeners have at least considered, you know, what else is out there.
Yeah, just be brave. Be brave. Think about those knowledge, skills, and attributes. Think about what is it that makes us unique as a profession, but also as individuals. Work on those things. Don't be scared to work on your weaknesses, you know. And then use that to think outside the square. And then if something does come up that you want, then chase it. Work towards it. You know, things don't come overnight. I didn't get this job on my first day out of uni, you know. It's been 18 years in the making. These things happen, but they will happen if you put yourself in the right position. And I guess one last thing from me, Alex, is that this, for you as an individual, for paramedics as individuals, we can consider ourselves as, you know, one individual, or we consider ourselves as a whole profession. I think it's important that we consider ourselves as both. You need to work on your own skill set. You need to consider and think about your own, you know, communication skills, your ability to problem solve, et cetera, manage stress and things. But also as a profession, we need to drive ourselves forward as well. So if you have the opportunity, you know, what you're doing, Alex, with this podcast, you are bringing the profession up by doing this podcast. If there's opportunities to jump on to committees, if there's opportunities to jump on to training organizations, to be a part of other organizations, you know, I ran into an ex-student of mine a little while ago who's working in another organization, a big surf life-saving rescue organization and stuff, and he's now contributing his knowledge and skills and attributes into that organization. So it's bringing that up. So it's really important that we get those all out there and that we raise the profession up. So if you have an opportunity, just do it, you know, jump into it. If it's something that you feel like, you know, maybe I'm not ready for this, do it anyway, because you can always learn as you go, right? Fake it till you make it. I've been doing that for years. At some point, someone will figure it out and then I'll get in trouble. But, you know, until that day, I'm going to keep having a crack. So have fun with it. Enjoy the career. Make the most of it. It's an incredible career. And there's very few that will give you and afford you the opportunities that paramedicine's done. So well done, all of you, for joining up, for training and having a crack. And I look forward to seeing where this whole thing goes in the next few years. And maybe I'll retire and just watch the whole thing change. It'd be cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for jumping on, Andy. Yeah, that was fantastic. And I feel like, you know, we've got a newfound sense of where this profession can take us and what an idea of a career in paramedicine really entails.
Cool. Thanks for having me, Alex. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. You can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or you can email us at thestudentparamedicpodcast@gmail.com.